Hey, out in the community, Carlos, we ran into Betsy House, and she's with the Citizens Climate Lobby, an organization that's trying to focus this huge global question mark into some local action. So I'm kind of into it when you actually think globally and act locally. Hey, good morning, Betsy. Tell us more about Citizens Lobby and what you're trying to do with the carbon pricing initiative. It can get kind of technical, so we'll sort of help people through the main points.
Sure. It's actually pretty easy to understand. Citizens Climate Lobby, which we call CCL, is a nonpartisan, nonprofit, grassroots organization. It's actually throughout the U.S. and Canada. We have about 12,000 volunteers now. It's growing very quickly. 2 years ago when I got involved in it, there were no branches at all in Colorado, and now we have 8. And our goal is to train and support ordinary citizens in communicating with our elected officials and with the media and with our communities about climate change, and particularly about our proposal for a carbon fee and dividend.
Now, break that down for us. How does it work? I've heard something about carbon credits and big companies buying and selling these carbon credits so they can continue to burn some oil and gas for a little while longer. How does it work?
Actually, this is very different and much simpler.
Okay.
The idea is that a fee is placed on carbon-based fuels at the source, so at the mine, at the well, at the border. The fee would start at about $15 per ton of CO2 emitted. So it's not per ton of coal or oil, it's per ton that fuel would emit when it's burned.
Okay, all right.
And it would go up each year, about $10 a ton each year. And
so that's built in, that it grows, it becomes more and more expensive.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. And a piece of this that's really crucial is that all of the money would be returned to American households on an equitable basis.
So how does that work?
So everybody would get the same amount, whether you drive a Hummer or a hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
And it would go through the IRS. The Treasury Department would collect it and then send it out in the form of dividends.
Oh, okay. So we're looking at a return in terms of a little bit more of a refund.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's not a refund in the sense that if you spend more on gas, you get more back.
Okay.
It's a flat amount.
Okay.
Everybody gets the same amount.
So how does that, I guess the first thought is if you put this tariff on oil or gas at the source, at the mine, at the well, at the border, mm-hmm. the cost for that's going to go up, and that's
yes.
going to raise the cost of gas and oil.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. But with all of the money returning to American households, about two-thirds of households would either break even or make money, even with the higher costs.
Right, right.
So that really protects the middle class and the working class because they would end up with extra income.
Okay.
And that's an enormous benefit to the economy.
So maybe it balances out with more expensive fuel. More expensive oil, more expensive gas. With the rebate on the other end, it may balance out.
More than balances out.
Yeah,
balances or more so than for two-thirds of households.
Right, right. I guess when I think about my own use of carbon, my own use of oil and gas, I mean, I like hot showers.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a teenager in the house, he takes long hot showers, then we're going to pay more for that. We've got a big laundry bill. Like those clean clothes, goes up. How many TVs can we have on at one time in the house?
Yeah. But the goal here is not to do without.
Yeah.
It's simply to shift the marketplace. So imagine that your costs for gasoline and heating, electricity go up. But you're getting a check.
Okay.
You'd think about how you're going to spend that check. You would probably, your next car would probably be more fuel efficient. You might insulate your house better. You might put solar panels on your roof or buy into a solar garden. But you would make different choices. And this is why this is such an appealing approach for both liberals and conservatives. Because rather than being about government regulation, it would be about giving incentives to consumers to make different choices.
Betsy House is with Citizens Climate Lobby. You got an event this weekend coming up.
Yes. This weekend we're having a regional conference, and of particular interest is that Saturday morning at the Jefferson Unitarian Church, we're having a presentation on Citizens Climate Lobby and Carbon Fee and Dividend, given by our executive director, who is a very dynamic man. And everyone is invited, and I hope it'll be on your website where they can find the presentation.
We'll point people to your website.
So, Betsy, how likely is this to actually come to fruition and, you know, come to pass?
It's getting more and more promising. Okay. A survey came out last week saying that the majority of Republicans actually want their elected officials to take action on climate change. And
That's a change in and of itself, isn't it?
It is a big change.
Okay. Yeah.
And because this is a market-based solution, doesn't increase the size of government, doesn't increase regulation. Mm-hmm. It's very appealing to both sides.
Okay.
Betsy House with Citizens Climate Lobby. What's your website? We can get more information about Saturday morning's conference.
Mm-hmm. It's citizensclimatelobby.org.
All right.
And if people look for regional conferences, ours is the Wild West Conference this coming weekend, February 7th and 8th.
Betsy, thanks for coming in. I know it's cold out there and it's early, but we appreciate you being here this morning.
Oh, thank you for having me.